Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come.
The world's greatest radio.
We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
All righty, welcome to the second hour of the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. on TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go, the world's greatest radio. You are now in touch with the Compensatory Concept, and I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is radio the way it should be heard. We are talking about the imitation of life, at least that's the topic, but we've had several different illustrations about that. And several comments by Mr. Fuller, taking your phone calls and also reading your Gmails. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can get in contact with the show, or the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. Before I read Mahindi's Gmail, this came in. Mr. Bobby, could you ask Mr. Fuller his stance on the flag? Should we stand? Should we sing the national anthem? What is his statement concerning the flag? Mr. Fuller?
The flag, you always say, according to the code, the universal pledge. You can make a universal pledge to any flag. That way you don't get into any of these flag controversies. Say, you know, there's something called the Confederate flag that makes a lot of people angry. But you can make a pledge to that flag. I came up with one in the 1980s. It took me a little while, but I say it's a universal pledge. It's a pledge that I will take and think nothing of it. I mean, I can stand anywhere. Just tell me, what you know, if I'm someplace where I don't even know what a flag is, but somebody said, you see over yonder, right over there, you know, where those people are standing, that's a flag. And I say, that's a flag? It looks like a statue to me. Well, this statue is our flag here. And that's our flag. That's the flag that we salute. We pledge our allegiance to that flag and whatnot. So we want you to do the same thing since you're our guest here. And I say, oh, no problem. Okay. So in answer to your question, I would step forward and say this. This is what I say. Football field, basketball, wherever I happen to be on the planet, anybody's flag. I don't care what kind of flag it is, you know, or what they call a flag. And if they call it a flag, I say, oh, that's a flag? All right. It doesn't look like a flag, but you said it's a flag, so that's your flag. So, you know, flag is whatever you say it is. So what do you do? What's the body movement? Do you salute it? Or do I hold my hands to my chest? Or do I extend my arms out? I mean, as far as, you know, forward or down or skyward, whatnot. Is it any body parts? And they might say, well, not necessarily, but just you can say it in words. All right? Your pledge. So here it is, according to what I have in the code book. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Period. That's it. I call it the universal pledge.
Could you repeat that?
I do at all times what's in the code book. I do at all times relate to the flag that I'm looking at. I mean, if I'm looking at it, the exact same way that the flag relates to me. And that's the pledge. That's it. It will fit anywhere at any time and shouldn't make anybody angry. They can call it the Confederate flag. They can call it the Brazilian flag. They can call it the United States flag. They can call it the British flag. They can, you know, it can be a person that they say is a flag. And I will make that pledge. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. And in my opinion, there will never be a pledge better than that to any flag, anywhere, at any time, day or night. That can't be topped. And if anybody ever tops it, because I made that one up, but if anybody ever tops that one, I want to know what it is, because I'm going to adopt it, because that's the one that I have right now. I'll say a pledge to any flag, any kind of flag that anybody puts in front of me. I mean, the Japanese battle flag from World War II. If you put it in front of me and say, now, in order to, you know, get along with me, you got to make a pledge to this flag. Oh, okay, to get along with you? See, that's what it's really all about, getting along with people, okay? Oh, so you want me to make a pledge? But that's the kind of pledge I'm going to make. Because, see, you were telling me, you didn't tell me to make a pledge to you. Let's watch this now. See, everything in counter-racist codification is scientific. Watch this. The person didn't ask me to make a pledge to the person.
Correct.
The person asked me to make a pledge to the flag.
Yes.
Now, I do it all times, relate to the flag, the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Now, years ago, somebody thought of it, and they should have been thinking, see, because when somebody says something like that, you should be thinking, what kind of pledge is that? You know, but if you're thinking, what is the likely question that a person will ask? Because you got to be ready for questions, all right? In anything that you say about anything, and particularly when there's something, you know, a pledge to a flag, that could get volatile.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is the logical question that a person is likely to ask when I say, I do at all times relate to that flag the exact same way that that flag relates to me? Now, a person thinks about that for a few minutes, and that person might say, oh, well, what kind of pledge is that? And they are asking themselves that, or they might ask me that. And I say, that's the pledge. But then if they say, well, how does the flag relate to you, Fuller? You just said you relate to the flag the exact same way the flag relates to you. How does this flag relate to you? Then I have my answer ready. So you got to be ready for anytime you make any kind of statement, you be ready for the questions. You better be ready for the questions. That's the codified way. All right. And the answer to that question is, the same thing you said before. Now, when the person does this two or three times, they're going to say, you just repeated what you just said. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. And I said, yeah, and that was the answer to my question. I say the same thing I said before. You know, I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Now the person is getting frustrated, which is what you don't want them to do, because after frustration comes angry, because they might say, oh, you're just trying to be funny or something like that. You're not trying to be funny. You're doing the scientific, most logical thing that a person can do, and that is a logical way to respond to a flag. That is the logical flag pledge, I say, and I'd be willing to talk about it for hours if necessary. You can't make a more logical pledge to any flag than that, a more logical pledge. But if you want me to explain the logic, then I would say the logical thing to that. If they say, well, how does the flag relate to you?
Right.
If that's the question, okay, that's the question I thought was going to come. So I said, I don't know. You would have to ask the flag.
Mm.
End of story. See, we got to stop and think about what this flag business is really all about. And when you respond this way, you are making a whole lot of mileage right quick to what this flag business is really all about anyway. And that's anybody's flag, okay? Because you're not really dealing with a flag. You know what you're really dealing with? Every argument about a flag is about what? It's not about the flag itself at all. That flag has nothing to do with this argument about flags. What you're dealing with is arguments about people. So what this, when you give a response like that, I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. What you're talking about is that person that asked you to make that pledge. How does that person relate to you? You relate to them the same way they relate to you. Now, how are they going to treat you? You know, the law of compensation, which is the title of my book, says, according to the code, you treat people the way you want to be treated, and you treat them the way that they treat you. If they're out of line. So it ain't about the flag at all. But see, when you respond by saying I do, at all times, relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me, this brings real quick them into the conversation. Because see, the premise is, I thought I was talking to the flag. But now, are you telling me, put it in the form of a question, are you telling me that I'm really talking about you and me? Okay, let's talk about you and me, sir or ma'am. All right? We'll lay the flag aside now. This is all about me and you. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. See what I mean? I'm saying this to the audience. I hope you get it. This is important. This is really important because you're not only talking about flags, you're talking about statues, you're talking about everything. Is it about you and the statue, or is it about you and a person who's talking about the statue? What is your relationship with that person on a daily basis?
Hmm.
Every minute of every day on this planet, in every area of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Now, it took a long way around to answer that question about taking a pledge to a flag. I'm going to say it again. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me.
Okay.
Doesn't get no better than that.
Question. Without getting into any controversy, and I'm trying to ask this question in clarity. You know that, and I'm pretty sure you read news, you read many publications, and I know that, well, I suspect, would be a better word, that you have looked at the controversy concerning Colin Kaepernick and what he did in regards to somehow somebody combined the national anthem along with the flag and said that he disrespected it by taking a knee. Now, in my thought, he did what he did, and he said what he said. And I'm asking, as a as a listener now, I'm asking your interpretation of what Mr. Kaepernick did. I'm not necessarily asking, was he right? Because I don't know if he was right or if he was wrong. But in compensatory form, could you explain your interpretation of what he did?
My interpretation of what he did is whatever he said it was. That's the logical, codified process. I would ask Mr. Kaepernick, why did you do what you did? And what is your message? And whatever he says, that's it. Now, if I would take a knee, I would just simply say, if I decided to take a knee and somebody said that I disrespected the flag by taking a knee, I say, I took a knee because I took a knee. I mean, you know, and the reason I took a knee is that I'm showing the flag all due respect. I'm relating to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me
okay.
by taking a knee.
Okay.
This is between me and the flag. And see, the whole thing is, what in the world do you have to do with me and my business with the flag? See, how did you get in it? See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
See, we got to get this flag business straight once and for all. And codification is about getting everything straight in 5 minutes, not dragging something on year after year, month after month. They've been talking about this like forever.
Yes.
You slam dunk something like that. What has me taken a knee? This is between me and this flag. We got a thing going. Me and the flag got a thing going, all right? How did you get in it? That's what I want to know. That's my question, sir. How did you get in it? What do you have to do with this? My personal relationship with this flag. How did you get into it? And what is your part that you play in this? My relationship with this flag. Okay? You talk about freedom of speech and all like that. I took a knee. Taking a knee can be interpreted as a form of speech.
Yes.
I'm sending a signal. But who is the signal to? The signal is to the flag.
To the flag.
It's between me and the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you proved that it's not. Because I didn't even know who you were, sir. And you walked up to me and said, I disrespected the flag. I don't know nothing about you. But I know something about you now. Because now you're getting in between me and the flag. Me and the flag got a personal relationship, I thought. Unless I've been misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's what you give them. I mean, you know, that's my recommendation, because that's exactly the way that I do it, because I'm going the codified way. See, I'm not going the way everybody's been trained to go.
Okay.
Codified way is, hey, you figure out the logical way to go. The logical way to go. What I'm saying now is 100% logical.
Okay. All right, James, there you have it. I do at all times
relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Every 7-year-old can stand up and take that pledge in anywhere on the planet and be right on point, be right where they should be, because that's really where you should be. That's the logical procedure for everybody. Not just for, you know, certain people and all. Hey, that fits anybody, anywhere. You relate to that flag the exact same way that the flag relates to you. It doesn't get no better than that. That relationship is airtight. The relationship that you have with that flag, whatever flag it is airtight when you give that kind of pledge to that flag. What kind of pledge is the flag making to you? All right? The same one, I guess, because the flag ain't said nothing. All right? So you decide what that relationship is, ultimately.
Yes, sir.
And if anybody else gets in it, you got a question. How did you get in it?
Okay. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, I'm going to share with you the three that I shared with you in the first hour. Your Time to Travel with Ricky Tice, All in Our Family with Yolanda Robinson, and Wiggins World of Wellness. Now, these shows, these three particular shows, are exclusive to the TalkTainmentRadio.com family. And if you haven't heard them, all you have to do is go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage, click on Programs, and not only will you find a listing of these shows, but you will find a listing of all the current shows that TalkTainmentRadio.com carries. You can give it a listen to see if you like it or if you don't. But all this from TalkTainmentRadio.com, that's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr., who is live on the line from Washington, D.C., and we are discussing the imitation of life. And Mr. Fuller has given various examples throughout the hour and almost hour and a half programming that we've had. Let's go to this Gmail from Mahinte. He says this, Mr. Fuller. He said, last week you suggested black people possibly could choose to preserve white people's genetic state of albinism in exchange for white people ending white supremacy. I've heard Dr. Welzing say something similar. You also stated that white people may, however, have an ulterior motives and not accept our offer at all. Mr. Fuller, if we choose to preserve white people's genetic state of albinism in exchange for white people ending white supremacy, what time frame will this take place? What date do we make the offer? And how much time from the initial offer is to pass before we decide that white people have ulterior motives or they have accepted our offer? Thank you, Mahinty.
According to the code, I mean, that was supposed to be a given anyway. When I say given, I mean all species should be preserved if they are doing what they should do. Just like each individual is a species, let's talk about species for a moment. What is a species? A specification. Every person that's ever existed was a specific person, unlike any other person that ever existed. Whomever a person is, there's no one in the known universe that's exactly like you. No one. No one that's exactly like you. I don't care if you're a triplet or a twin. Twins are not exactly alike. Why? Because they're twins. That's why. That's self-evident. We talk about self-evidence here. See, codification is about logic, what you call pure logic, not rumors of logic, pure logic. That's what you always go to. That's what black people need more than anything, logic. Look at everything exactly the way that it is, not the way you've been told that it is. So, no two things are exactly alike, particularly when it comes to people or creatures or animals. You are within the time frame that you're in. Even though there might have been somebody here that was exactly like you 2 million years ago, exactly like you, could have been, but they weren't you. Why? Because of the time frame. It was 2 million years ago. So they weren't exactly like you because you are here 2 million years later. There's a difference. There's a difference, something called time. So therefore, getting to the point, it's a given. White people are white people. white people are here. White people can do things. They can accomplish things. We see them. They're proving that. So white people can do things that are very constructive. And they can do things that are very non-constructive, like all people can do. So the whole idea is just to get everybody on the same page of doing nothing but things that are constructive for everybody. That's what you call justice and correctness, something that everybody, well, not everybody, but many people give lip service to year after year. 100 years passed, 200 years passed, 1,000 years passed. People have been talking about that thing of everybody not mistreating anybody and everybody willing to help everybody. They've been talking about it like forever. That's all that we're really talking about here on all of these programs, ultimately. But nobody's serious about doing it. And under the system of white supremacy, it can't be done. Why? Because the system of white supremacy is designed to mistreat people. Deliberately designed. That's not an accident. So you can't have racism and justice on the same, in the same universe at the same time. It's impossible. So you get rid of that. And then you preserve all species in a constructive context. Any species that's not willing to be constructive and willing to be destructive and run around being destructive of everything else, you eliminate that particular entity. But you don't eliminate the entire species, because each species counts for itself. All right? So that's why we understand that, logically speaking, I hope.
Okay.
Now, I may have not answered the question, but I hope that I did. So, yes, you preserve species as long as that particular person. That's what it boils down to, because no two people are alike. See, it comes right down to the individual person, not a group. There's no such thing as a group. I mean, you can call anything a group. Elevator, you know, people on an elevator, they are a group. Are they a community? Well, they are a community of elevator riders while they're on the elevator. When they get off the elevator, they're no longer a community of what? Elevator riders. Why? Because they're not on the elevator. That's why. They got something in common when they're on the elevator. When they get off the elevator, they go their separate ways. All creatures do that. Birds do that. Sometimes you see them in a flock. Sometimes you, most of the times you see them flying alone. Some birds send the other birds, put them out of the nest, because they say, hey, you can go on your own now. Stop hanging around here. Go somewhere and build your own nest. That's what I taught you to do. Then the mother bird lets its own offspring go. And among many species, never sees them again. Once they go, they never see them again. We got to think about that.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's do this.
I guess.
Okay, let's do this. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. Coming up next, we're going to have this phone call, so hang on, caller, and more of the conversation on the imitation of life by Dr. Fuller, or I mean by Mr. Fuller, excuse me, here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. Thank you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals. Or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Sex Code War by Kahari and Aharo. The author of the Essence Magazine bestseller, Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on talktainmentradio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Our topic today has been the imitation of life. And let me say this before I take the phone call. Somebody asked, why are the usual suspects trying to interfere with the concept show? This is why. This is one of the. It could be one of the reasons why. On my post page, they send me percentages of people who listen. When I checked it yesterday, in particular, the listenership for the compensatory concept, according to them, has gone up 718%. 718%. In particular, the show on religion is still getting hits. People are still playing it back. They send the information to me. That's a good thing. In other words, it's getting out there, and somebody doesn't like that. So if they can interrupt the show, like they did last week where you couldn't get any calls in for whatever that reason was, now you know. 718%. Thank you for getting your calls in and participating. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. Good morning to you both. I had a comment and two quick questions. The comment first, I guess, is this thing about this so-called imitation of life. I know in the Word Guide, Mr. Fuller, you suggest don't use this term the way it has been often used. And the reason, quote, you said, quote, during the existence of white supremacy, racism, the term imitation of life has often been used to describe the conduct of non-white people who seek to copy the complete mannerisms and or social material customs of the white supremacist, racist. The term imitation of life has often been used to help produce the thought that what is called life is whatever it is that white people think, say, and do. End of quote. I think that's probably a good reason not to use that term too, Mr. Fuller, imitation. Thank you for putting that in there. But my question is this. This so-called Christmas 2019, New Year 2020, what role does this time of the year, why does the white supremacist system practice or encourage folks to practice so-called Christmas and New Year? Why is that necessary? That's one thing. This Christmas, New Year thing. What is it anyway? And why is it necessary to the system of race? Why do the white supremacists encourage folks to think about so-called Christmas and New Year? That's one question. And the other question is this will to produce justice. I know in the code book there, one of the things up front, you say that one of your reasons for writing the book is that, no, well, the will to produce justice has to come before the production of justice. And sometimes I don't have the will to practice those 10 stops that you recommend also. But what can a person do to keep that will alive and well and thriving? I don't know, you know, because keep that will to produce justice burning.
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
Well, I'll answer the last question first, and I'll try to remember the first one after that. But the last question is, where does will come from? Will comes from understanding the world that you're in. You don't have the will to do anything. A baby doesn't have a will to get out of the crib until the baby understands that this is a crib, and a crib has limitations. And instinctively, all organisms, all creatures, do not like to be limited. A cat likes to roam around all over the neighborhood. They call it curiosity in the cat. The cats are curious. Well, people are curious. All creatures are curious. Birds are curious. They fly here and fly there and look this way and look that way. You just watch a bird. That's what, you know. So people are the same way. And so, in answer to the question, we get our will from being curious. And then we figure out what is the best thing to do. We really, like babies, see, we're all real babies. I mean, we're always growing out of babyhood. That never stops. Which means we try to learn more about the situation that we're in and then where we fit into that situation best. That's what people should always be trying to do. How do I fit into this situation where I am? Because I can't be where I'm not, all right, until I am where I'm not. But how do I get to where I should be if I should be somewhere else doing something else other than what I'm doing at this moment, which is wondering where I should be to do what I should be doing. So, like a baby in a crib, that's how it starts. That's where willpower comes from. You look at your situation. So, you study the thing that motivates you most when it comes to black people. And what is that? The system of racism. The system of racism has more to do with what black people do than any other influential factor. And I would just incorporate that into what is Christmas about. To the extent that a white supremacist has anything to do with it, to the extent that a white supremacist has anything to do with anything, it is to make the system of white supremacists stronger. It's to help to maintain and or refine the system of white supremacy. They have already established it. So everything that a white supremacist comes up with, regardless of how it looks on the surface, is to make the white supremacist stronger than it already is. Keep it strong, that's maintaining it, and then refining it, which means you put the finishing touches on it to keep it the way that it is. Just like you build a house, and then you maintain the house, and then you refine the house. You say, well, hey, the house is just fine the way it is, but I'm just going to add a few finishing touches on it. So if the white supremacists are involved in what we call Christmas, all they're going to do is just look at it and say, how is this going to glorify white supremacy? And whatever it takes to help glorify white supremacy, that's what they'll do. They'll say, we will invent a person that goes around giving people presents, but make sure he's white or she, you know, and we might do that. That might be one way we'll do it. And so therefore, people at a very early age will think that what they're supposed to do is wait by a chimney and somebody white is going to show up and deliver a whole bunch of nice stuff that they have never seen before. And you're just going to enjoy that and then You say you got to be good now, or it ain't going to happen. Now, what does the white supremacist mean by being good? Do what I say, you dark-skinned people. That's being good.
Yes, sir.
You don't do what I say, that's bad. That's bad. You get very low remarks for that.
Ma'am.
If you be good, I'll come down your chimney.
Did you...
And I'll leave you with a whole bunch of goodness.
Yeah. Did you have any more, ma'am, for Mr. Fuller? I'm sorry.
No, I was trying to hear him, but I couldn't hear you. You were laughing at him, but I couldn't hear that last thing
I'm sorry.
Said.
Go ahead, Mr. Fuller. Repeat that.
But that's it. That's the gist of it. In answer to both of the questions, I kind of consolidated the answer because everything that the white supremacists do is consolidated. See, they don't. They make it look like they keep some things separate and whatnot. They don't keep nothing separate. They keep everything under their umbrella. I mean, that's the way they go about doing it. They connect everything to white supremacy. I don't care what it is. They'll walk into a strange situation, which most situations are not strange to them because they are everywhere and been into everything about now. But if they do walk into a situation, first thing that a white supremacist does is, are any dark people involved in whatever I'm looking at? And if we don't have any involved, get some involved. Because what I do as a white supremacist, first of all, I get black people involved in anything that I'm doing, and then I control it. That's what I'm all about. That's how they think. Even if there's no black people around, they're going and getting some. They're going to go get some and get them involved in whatever it is they're doing and make sure that whatever it is, all kinds of terrible things are going to be happening to black people under that thing that he got them involved in, he or she, racist man, racist woman. That's what they're committed to doing. That's the only way that they think. They're not happy if they're not doing that. That's their happiness. We are the source of their happiness. And how do we make them happy? By doing everything stupid that you can possibly name. And as long as they can have black people involved up to our necks and over our heads and doing stupid stuff, then that makes them happy. What makes them very unhappy is when, like the code book says, we should be all trying to do, is when we start doing something that's logical and constructive. That makes the white supremacists unhappy to the nth degree. Because if you're black, you're never supposed to be involved in anything that has constructive value unless a white person is standing over you with your black self with a whip making you do it. If it's anything that makes sense. Anything that doesn't make sense, the white supremacists, they take truckloads of it to you.
Okay. All righty.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. All right, Mr. Fuller, it's time for you to speak briefly about your book because I have some things in front of me that I have to do. Go ahead, sir.
Well, just like the call a while ago, she was reading from the book, and I forgot not to put that in there about Imitation of Life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how you came up with it, Mr. Bobbitt. Did you see that in the book?
No, sir. Actually,
you didn't see that in the book.
No,
okay,
sir.
I had forgotten that I'd put that in the book. But she recalled. I put a lot of things in the book I've forgotten. My memories began to slip.
Yes, sir.
In a lot of ways. But you can get the book by going to producejustice.com. The book, just like that flag thing, is supposed to tell you what to do. See, we need more books now written about this one thing. What to do in every situation that you're in. We need that more than anything. But so many of us, I'm not criticizing, I'm just observing, we keep writing books about how we feel and, you know, and how terrible everything is. But we're going into 2020 now. We should just resolve everything that we write from now on, because we got thousands of books about our feelings, you know. I mean, you know, whether or not we love somebody or they love us, and on and on and on and on. But very seldom do you find anybody writing anything about this problem that you are going to have right today. In the next 30 minutes, you got a problem, because black people got problems like you wouldn't believe. But nobody is saying anything about what to do about anything as an individual person. And that's what this book is for. And everybody from now on should be thinking about problem solving. Solve problems without making any. You can get the book by going to producejustice.com. Because what the white supremacists do not want black people to ever do, to be in the problem-solving business. They want us to keep being the biggest, have a reputation for being the biggest problem makers in recorded history. They set up a system that's designed to have us always involved in something non-constructive. But here come the problem makers, all right? Now you bring around, you got 2 or 3 million black people making problems. You bring around 2 or 3 individual white people to solve the problem. Because the white people of this planet are supposed to be problem solvers, never a black person. Black people just know how to make problems that white people have to solve. That's the way they want to keep it. Because that's the way we are right now, going into 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Problem makers. We got that reputation. You can get the book by going to producejustice.com.
Okay. Mr. Fuller, there was I did not see this article, but one of our listeners happened to see an article and sent it to me. Are you familiar with the Washington Post?
I take the Washington Post.
Okay.
And I read it, and most of what I see now, there's a byline or a logo, a slogan on the Washington Post that was adopted, I guess, in the last year or two, called "Democracy Dies in Darkness." That immediately jumped out at me, because that word "dark" is in the code book. And so I'm saying, okay, what kind of message is that sending? Democracy dies in darkness. So the codified procedure, I would have to talk to the person that came up with that slogan, and I would ask the question, how did you decide to come up with a slogan like that? Democracy dies, talking about something dying now, in what? Darkness? Well, darkness is a part of the universe, a huge part of the universe. And all the scientists are talking about black holes that just go on and on and on. And they say they absorb energy. Oh, a black hole absorbing energy? Pulling in all the light and the light disappears? Oh. But democracy dies in darkness. Does everything die in darkness? Do white people die in darkness? Do black people die in darkness?
Okay.
Let's study that word "dark" and how we use it.
Okay.
How everybody uses that word "dark," because there are people with dark skins. So how do you relate to that? Do things die in a dark skin? We have to watch the words that we use.
Yes.
Code.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was going to say, because I have a minute and a half here, an article was sent to me from the Washington Post, and I'm glad you told me that you get this. It was entitled "Confidential Documents Reveal U.S. Officials Failed to Tell the Truth About the War in Afghanistan." Did you see that article, or were you familiar with that?
No, I probably glanced at it and whatnot. When I read the Washington Post and a lot of the articles, I read them. I subscribe to the Washington Post, and I notice a lot of the articles are about dark people And, you know, and they'll show dark people in long articles about the misery that they're in. And this is excellent information.
Okay.
Because we are a miserable people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are in a miserable circumstance. And so the Washington Post does give article after article, sometimes almost looks like it's a whole book on two or three pages. I mean, about the misery. They'll show huge photographs of black people in little mud huts and whatnot. I mean, and they're starving. And somebody come and help us. I mean, please, somebody somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and the somebody who comes to help, or the people who are most able to help. Oh. And who would that be? White people.
Okay. They're giving me the signal, Mr. Fuller, so I have to do this. Thank you, thank you. We at Talktainment Radio appreciate all your listenership throughout the year 2019. Talktainment Radio is an internet programming platform allowing listeners to participate. Thank you for all your support from the staff of Talktainment Radio, wishing you and yours a prosperous holiday season. We are TalkTainmentRadio.com. So with that, TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio the way it should be heard. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Mr. Fuller.
Thank you for inviting me. And thanks for the listeners.
Yes.
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be a very special Christmas. Presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town they do. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright. We're caroling through the night.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why?
one should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.